This is an interview with Clancy James of the University of Adelaide. For the full show, go to jawcast.net.
So with us right now is Clancy James, University of Adelaide. Now going to talk to us a little bit about...
ultra-high energy neutrino detection.
What does that mean?
Well, we've detected neutrinos from the Sun and from supernova 1987A, but these are all relatively mundane sources, as I tend to think of them. But because of the known flux of cosmic rays, which have been sort of seen for a long time and no one still knows where they're coming from, we expect a flux of the highest energy neutrinos, and these are energies of some extremely large factor of what we're already seeing.
What are cosmic rays, or is that a question which shouldn't be asked?
Oh, no, they're pretty sure that they're mostly protons right up to ion nuclei sort of coming from space somewhere. They think that the lower energy ones might be accelerated in the intergalactic medium and supernova remnants, but the highest energy ones have no clue what could be accelerating them.
So this is a big question, isn't it? We've got cosmic rays, these bunches of high-energy particles coming from cosmic distances, and we have no idea where they're coming from. What are you aiming to learn with your research?
Well, one of the problems with cosmic rays is because they're charged particles, they get bent in galactic magnetic fields. So if you detect one coming from some direction over there, you can't point back a telescope there and see where it was produced. However, with neutrinos, they travel in straight lines, so hopefully if you can detect one coming from some certain direction, you can just point a Keck telescope or some other.
So you presume that the cosmic rays and the neutrinos come from the same source. Is that the idea?
Well, there's two sources of neutrinos we expect. One are those a sort of guaranteed flux. In other words, known physics, we sort of know how cosmic rays interact with the cosmic microwave background. These interactions are expected to produce the highest energy neutrinos. Plus, that just comes from the propagation of cosmic rays, nothing to do with how they're produced. When people model how they're produced, a lot of these models come up with other more exotic fluxes of highest energy neutrinos.
So tell us how you're going to detect these neutrinos.
Well, when these things interact, these ultra-high energy neutrinos, they produce a shower of millions of billions of secondary particles. These particles knock electrons from the surrounding medium into the shower, so you end up with more electrons and positrons in the shower. So there's a net excess negative charge. Now, you have up to billions of excess electrons travelling on some at velocities in a dense medium, higher than the propagation of light in that medium. And these things emit coherent Cherenkov radiation, which comes out as a very short duration but extremely powerful pulse, so it only lasts for a billionth of a second.
The Cherenkov radiation is a blue light, isn't it?
Yep. So if you've ever had the fortune or otherwise of looking into a nuclear reactor and see a nice blue glow coming from the water, it's the same mechanism.
Stop. I thought that nothing could travel faster than the speed of light.
That's the speed of light in a vacuum, but anyone who's looked into a swimming pool and sees a refraction of water through there sees that light in certain media travels slower than the speed of light in a vacuum. However, particles, they don't care about the medium they're travelling through. If they're extremely energetic, so they just plough through whatever's there going at close to the speed of light anyway.
And so when they do this, they emit this lovely blue light we call Cherenkov radiation.
It turns out that this huge pulse that you get from these entire showers of particles, that peaks in the radio part of the spectrum. So that the larger the distribution of particles, the lower the frequency. And so blue light's a very high frequency radiation compared to radio. But the more particles you get, the lower the frequency of the peak. However, the more powerful the peak is.
So we're talking about this, seeing this Cherenkov radiation in the radio band. Hence, I guess that's why you're here at Jodrell Bay today.
That's the one. I'm normally a particle physicist, but I'm hanging out with the radio astronomers for the moment.
So what do you think? The radio astronomers better looking, more intelligent than the particle astrophysicists, or what?
I can't give any comments, given current company, perhaps.
He's a very wise man. You're from the University of Adelaide, so what is your job there? What do you do?
So I'm a PhD student. I do computer simulations of this technique. So we're actually planning to point radio telescopes at the moon to detect the particles when they hit the moon.
So you're going to use the moon as a great big neutrino detector?
That's the one.
And which telescopes are going to use to do this? Radio telescopes, which ones where?
Well, the first experiment to do this was with the Parkes Radio Telescope in New South Wales, Australia. And we've got some more observations at the Compact Array, which is six small dishes there. However, other groups are currently using the Westerbork Synthesis Telescope in the Netherlands. And we hope to be able to use a square kilometre array, this big fancy new telescope being planned eventually.
Best of luck to you, and thank you very much for talking to us about your research.
Thank you.